This is the Hollywood Outsider, weekly movie and TV podcast with a new episode every Thursday. And this week, we're going to look at upcoming releases, Monsters University and World War Z, our spoiler-free review of The Purge. Our From the Outside In topic this week, actors that should have made it big, as well as ones we wish wouldn't have. The latest movie and TV news, including our own trivia segments, which we're trying something new this week. My name is Aaron Peterson. With me today are my fellow hosts, Scott Clark.
What is going on?
Podcasting.
Yeah.
Brian, I'll let you know in about an hour and a half.
All right.
Brian Williams.
What's up?
How much? And Justin Mocumber.
I'd prefer it if you call me by my rap name, Humpty Hump.
Did that get anything with you?
Wait,
with the ladies?
Where did Mocumber come from?
I like Mocumber because it's kind of streets.
Is that because
I got Mocumba?
I figured
he's got more Cumba than you. That's why.
That's right.
That's what he goes by in November.
When I shave off this facial hair and revert back to about 12 years old.
Ooh, that didn't sound right.
I think you took that the wrong way, man.
I sure did.
And that's why you get the pedophile jokes.
That's right.
Exactly.
Thanks to everybody that nominated us for the Parsec Award. We did make the nominee list, submitted everything. We'll find out if we're finalists in a few weeks, I guess. So thank you for that. And if you're a Game of Thrones fan, our Season 3 spoiler cast is up. So be sure to check that out. If you're not a, if you haven't watched the most recent season, I would ignore it because we pretty much spoiled everything.
Well, no, I would download it and then just save it.
Yeah.
Yeah, download exactly. It, hit play, and then turn it off.
Yeah.
Make sure you get the credit. Let's just hop into movie news. Warner Brothers passed on making Dumb and Dumber 2. They were going to spell it T-O. Get it? Because it's dumb. Despite a low $30 million budget, and Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels were both attached. Now it's being shopped around to other studios. Do you think this is a slap to the face, Scott?
Because
you're a big
fan. Obviously, Warner Brothers is smarter than me. But
I would say so.
It seems like easy money to me. I mean, you're going to have the original fan base alone, I would think. I know very few guys in my circle besides the three of you that don't like Dumb and Dumber a lot and like watch it still to this day.
I like Dumb and Dumber a lot.
Do you?
Yeah, I just don't know if I'd want to see it now.
Oh, you do love it? Okay.
I love it. I don't know if it's quite ready for a sequel.
Quite ready?
I should say, I think...
That was late 90s.
It's past time, not ready.
Good.
Ready's the wrong word.
That makes more sense.
It's way past time. Way past
you drinking a little bit of grandpa's cough medicine?
But I mean, that and a younger audience that obviously are going to like that kind of humor, I think you've got a hit.
At the very least, $50 million, $60 million.
Yeah.
I mean, even dumb comedy, that internship will make $50 million.
$30 million? That seems very, very cheap, especially.
Yeah, it could trip and make $30 million.
I think the problem is
it could trip.
I think the problem is they're looking at the success of that last one, which was a turd, that Dumb and Dumber-er.
Well, yeah, but
it didn't have the two stars.
Yeah, it didn't have the main guys in it.
Right. Although that one guy did pull off Jim Carrey really, really well.
But he's still not.
I agree with you,
Jim Carrey.
I think
I agree. But even on that NCIS or whatever show that he's on CBS, I look at him and I go, "Damn, I still see him as Jim Carrey."
Yeah, yeah.
He was that good.
Yeah.
I never watched it because it just looked dumber.
Oh, it is dumber.
Yeah, it's that. I think the better choice would be to make another Dumb and Dumber that was similar to the one they did back in the 90s that didn't have all these weird special effects and easy poop jokes and that kind of thing.
They're just older now because they're like, what, 20 years older?
No, but they were dumb and acted like children without cheap, easy dick and fart jokes. I mean,
I don't know. Jeff Daniels shitting on that toilet for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's quality.
They kind of pissed in a bottle and gave it to a cop, if I remember correctly. Yeah. I think they had quite a few easy poop jokes.
Yeah, fair enough.
It went highbrow.
I can watch that on a loop.
Yeah.
I can watch it on a loop.
For real, that movie's so funny.
All right, well, Vince Vaughn, who has a recent career problem, he and Couples Retreat director Peter Billingsley, who is that Peter Billingsley from A Christmas Story, yeah, he's a director now, are adapting the graphic novel Term Life. Do you think this sounds like something better than what Vaughn has been doing the last couple of years, Justin? Like it could bring his career back?
I think it can certainly cause people to maybe look at him in not as a comedy actor, but somebody who can bring a little more something to the table. The story of Term Life, it's the story of a guy named Nick Barrow who takes out a life insurance policy so that when he passes away, his daughter will get millions of dollars. Unfortunately for him, that doesn't take effect for 21 days. So he has to find a way to survive for 21 days. everyone who knows him hates him, including mob bosses, contract killers, and dirty cops, all of them out to kill him. So he has to find a way to survive for 21 days so that his daughter will inherit this money. There's definitely room for humor in that role, but there's also, you know, room for some action, a bit of drama. I think if he can get this role and not just phone it in like he's kind of been doing.
Yeah, like the last 10 years.
But bring something new to it, then yeah, definitely. Remember what he did in Swingers. He was funny, yeah, but there was also a little sense of desperation mm-hmm. in some of his performance. And there was a little more there, but then he just got successful by doing
Dodgeball.
A certain shtick. And he's just been riding that pony basically ever since. I'd like to see him do something new, and this looks to do it.
I 100% agree with you. He was a dramatic actor. I think people have forgotten that because he did Dodgeball, made him popular, and he stuck to comedy since then. But he was a dramatic actor. If you ever saw Clay Pigeons, he was excellent in that movie. It's not necessarily a great movie, but he was excellent. He can do drama very, very well. He just got out of it. I don't know. And anything you can mix drama with comedy, which I think was what he tried to do with Dilemma, and it just didn't work the way he hoped it would.
Well, and you can't really have a Vince Vaughn and Kevin James movie without it being...
Yeah, perceived as a comedy. There's a lot of disappointed people going to that flight.
Yeah.
That's something that you got called a disappointment.
Yeah, they should have.
It was actually advertising, decent, please.
But, you know, with the story that Justin described, it doesn't sound funny.
No, it's meant to be a comedy.
Is it?
Yeah, it's meant to be comedy. Like, oh, crap, how do I stay alive for 21 days? It doesn't sound like it, but if you saw the source material, it's more comedic than dramatic.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
You can imagine that there definitely are jokes when it comes to some of these mob bosses that are coming after him. Why are they coming after him? There's definitely room for both drama and comedy and action. If he can get all three of those and really work it well, it could be a new start to his career, but we'll have to see.
Do you think Ralphie can pull it off?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't his first time out. I wish I could remember what it was he directed last time, but...
Couples Retreat. I said that.
Couples Retreat.
And a couple TV shows.
It was a fairly funny movie.
Yeah, it was actually pretty decent.
It had its moments. Mm-hmm.
So definitely, I think, you know, give it to him. Because it's not like we're asking him to do a Michael Bay movie or something.
Right. Whoa, slow down. It's not crazy. Man of Steel 2 is already on the fast track with David Goyer signed to write as well as develop the Justice League flick. The movie is just out. Do you think they should hit the brakes, Brian?
No, I mean, this is I think this is huge. I mean, this is... I mean, they're obviously setting something up. I mean, David Goyer, he's set to do Man of the sequel and also the Justice League movie. But, I mean, he wrote the screenplays for the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy, the Blade trilogy, and even, Scotty, this one's for you, the Call of Duty Black Ops video games. Just trying to, you know, make Scotty feel good with a little video game reference. Anyway.
I think Scotty's too afraid to go.
Yeah, it's like a knee-jerk reaction.
I mean, it's not even a game Scotty likes, but I just... fact that it's a video game reference is good enough, I'm sure. I don't know.
You know, Aaron will be cutting all of this out.
Absolutely.
Mostly the awkward pausing.
I don't know. I mean, really, I think the bigger question is how does his buddy Christopher Nolan fit into this?
Well, I think he's taking a much more of a back seat the next time, right? Because he was a heavy producer on Man of Steel, but he's got too much other stuff going on, so he can't really supervise this one. The next one. Which apparently they're already, you know, going for. I mean, it's been greenlit. That's ridiculous. The movie isn't even out yet.
Are they just anticipating?
They're making $170 million just in promotional partners.
Correct, yeah. Hmm. So they've already almost broke even already on the movie.
And it hasn't even come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, it kind of makes sense then.
It does, but you still, I would think, want to see how well it did. Because, I mean, reviews have been a little mixed. You know, They're not glowing like Dark Knight or anything. So you want to see how it pans out. The last Superman movie didn't do so great. I mean, we'll see how it... I think it's going to do well. I think especially overseas, but it's really early. Hmm. Good for them. Whatever gets the Justice League movie, I know Brian and Justin both want that bad. So, you know, if it can make that happen. And I want to see Flash just so, you know, I can get some underoos that look like Flashes. That's kind of what I'm looking... Why did you just lift your shirt up?
I flashed you.
Oh, I see what you did there. This is radio, not television.
It was just for you, baby.
Oh, I appreciate it. Now the whole world knows I'm disturbed.
Yeah, but you two are in the same room, so.
I'm moving on because I'm really creeped out now. Michael, by the way, get some sun. Seriously. Michael Bay is getting into the video game movie business, Scott. Long overdue, if you ask me, because he's been making video game movies for a long time. They just haven't been adapted yet. But he's getting into it with Ghost Recon. Right now, he's just a producer. Would you rather he was directing for, you know, just the right amount of lens flare and millisecond editing cuts?
Well, not necessarily worried about that. I do like the fact that he's getting into video game movie business so that people start to take that idea a little bit more seriously. I know what you're thinking, Michael Bay, seriously? Justin's like,
no, he's a popular director. If anybody's going to make it popular, it'd be him.
Right. I mean, look at the money his films have made. But Ghost Recon as a film sounds to me like it's just going to be it's going to look like another war movie. I mean,
yeah, but he takes military action and whatnot. It makes it fun. Right. Like The Rock was just, you know, as a military hostage flick, and he made that movie fun. I think he could really take that property to another level, personally.
Okay, but again, I'm not a huge war movie guy personally. Obviously, I like video games, but
you like happy stories.
No, not necessarily happy stories. I just like stories that are a little more complex. Justin and I have talked about this before. I mean, there's a Need for Speed movie coming out, which basically just looks like it's going to be a Fast and Furious movie. It has, is there a big undertow story going on in Need for Speed that has to be told? No, it's just another excuse to have a movie with fast cars.
My daddy didn't hug me, so I don't go very fast anymore.
There's just better.
I don't know when the fucking guy from Swing Blade got in Fast and Furious, but
that's some. I drove fast. Some fast cars. Mm-hmm. Right,
he likes
there.
Them French fried taters. Yeah, I took a lift.
I think what makes this a little different is that Ghost Recon is a bit more sci-fi-ish in a lot of its elements. I mean, these are war stories that take place what in the near future, where these soldiers have got technology that our soldiers don't presently have, if I'm recalling correctly. Am I recalling? I mean, isn't that what part of Ghost Recon is all about?
Kind of, the right. New one is. The old ones were really just military shooters. Mm-hmm.
But with Michael Bay directing, I can't imagine that all you're going to get is Saving Private Ryan. I think you're going to get something that's flashier, something that's not going to look like just your average war movie. I think he definitely could do something special with Ghost Recon.
And I agree with you on that. I just think that if we're going to go that route, there's so much better stories going on out there than what's going on in something like Ghost Recon or Call of Duty. Granted, those are some good stories, but something that's a little bit more interesting that shows what...
A little deeper. You don't want to see something you've seen 100 times before.
Right. I mean, I like that we're kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and hope he starts to helm other movies based on games, but ones that have a little bit more interesting stories and different settings that I'd like people to see.
I mean, I'm sorry, but we don't know what the story is. Nothing says that this is going to be a shot-for-shot redo of one of the Ghost Recon games. Something like Ghost Recon really is just a canvas, mm-hmm. in which you can tell almost any story they want to tell.
Right.
War movies have a history of, well, I don't know if I'd say history, but there have definitely been some thought-provoking and emotion manipulating war movies made. They could do the same with this. Mm-hmm. We have no idea what kind of story they're really going to be telling, so I think it's a little too early.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
To worry. Let's wait until there's actually something to worry about, and I'm sure there will be.
Right.
All right, well, let's move on to a couple of sequel tidbits. John Chu signed for G.I. Joe 3. So everybody liked G.I. Joe 2, so that seems to be good news. And Paramount, this is the part that scared me, the other sequel news, Paramount looks to be acquiring Terminator 5, which is somehow going to utilize Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was in his 60s, I might add. Picture that naked ass walking around.
Ugh. Yeah, I don't quite know. I mean, are they now going to talk about their aging androids or something like that? I mean, exactly how old are they going to let are they going to try and remodel his face the way that they did in Terminator Retribution, which looked okay, but it wasn't that. They didn't do it a lot. He wasn't in much of the movie, so there really wasn't a chance to shit on it. You know, too much, though we do definitely like to take dumps on it when we can. But I don't know. I don't know what he can bring, what Arnold can really bring to Terminator.
Yeah, I don't know either. Why does he need to be in it? Honestly,
sell tickets.
You're 60, but I don't know who would pay to see a 65-year-old man reliving his 30s.
Maybe what they're going to do is he's actually a genius, and he's the one who started one of the early designers of these robots, and he just wanted to make one that looked like him.
Oh, that would be cool.
You know, a la Star Trek or something, but... Yeah, no. I think the last time he tried to play a scientist was Mr. Freeze, and
yeah.
I don't think we need to
kick some ice
to see that again. But yeah, we all did like G.I. Joe quite a bit. We gave it fairly favorable
reviews. Yeah, it was
reviews.
Fun. Not deep.
And the,
not
you know, deep. The movie cost $130 million, and it ended up making worldwide $365 million. So it made its money back. It made the studio... You know, a little bit of change. They want to do another one. They want the same guy to direct. I say, sure. I mean, this one was definitely more successful than the Stephen Sommers G.I. Joe movie. I'd like to see the guy come back and do another one because I think he did a good job. We don't know, though, who the characters are going to be that they're going to put in this one. I was about to spoil something, but just say which actor wasn't going to be there, but... It hadn't come out on DVD yet, so it's I'm not
a little early for that.
Yeah, it's a little early to be spoiling shit, but suffice it to say, some people on the poster won't be on the next poster, but we don't know who all is going to be there. I would assume Ray Park, Dwayne Johnson, definitely. They're really the two stars of that movie, but we'll see. The really interesting thing, though, is at the end of this article I read, it said that John Chu, he's also set to direct Masters of the Universe,
the He-Man movie.
Yes.
Oh.
Why do this movie? Who really cares about G.I.
I want to see Dolph Lundgren back in that fucking outfit.
Buy the DVD and live with that. Do we have to sully the theaters with another iteration of that piece of shit?
By the power of Grayskull.
It was just another reason to sell toys. Do we need this in film? Are they a popular toy now? I don't know. I don't know,
but I'm going to go dig mine out and play with them tonight. I guarantee you that.
Man.
Come here, Skeletor.
What you're talking about people not coming back for the next movie, you never know. If Fast and Furious taught us anything, nobody really dies.
Yeah, nobody really dies in those kind of movies. So it's possible. Anything's possible.
Welcome to Brian's Trailer Park. Alrighty. Well, on September 27th, Ben Affleck and Justin Timberlake shared a screen for a drama that evolves around the shady world of online gaming. Gambling. A little of both.
Gaming and gambling. It's World of Warcraft.
Just have fun
and
with
slot
it.
Machines.
So, JT plays a Princeton student who's broke as hell, but he's devised a system to win his tuition on an online gambling site. When the house wins, he figures out he's been swindled and goes after the head of the gambling site. His travels take him to some third world country where he gets face-to-face with a shady entrepreneur who's played by Ben Affleck, and also something he didn't expect, a job offer. It's not long before Richie finds out the true cost of his education as he fights to get out of the tight grips of his new boss and the ever-tightening squeeze of the FBI as they throw it on him. So, Scotty, does your love for JT get you to open the wallet, or is this a little too much Boiler Room meets 21?
Does it get me open? Is that what you said?
Does it get you open?
I don't know quite what he meant with that, but
yeah,
I feel uncomfortable.
I've said before, I'll pretty much see anything that has Justin Timberlake in it. I really like seeing him on screen. It started to look like it was going to be another Rounders or 21 a little bit, but it seems like it's getting a little bit more stuff going on than just the gambling. Ben Affleck's performance too kind of looks. He had a scene in that reminded me of a little bit of Boiler Room.
Yeah, it looked like he was trying to make a throwback.
Right. So I'm all over it. I like both of those actors, and the story is up my alley. So I'm in. What about you guys?
I liked it when it started because I thought it was going to be another Rounders. I like Rounders. Rounders. It was fun. I think Ben Affleck looked like he's having fun, but god damn, this movie, it just looked generic by the end of it. It really started to look generic.
Think so?
Yeah, I did. Personally.
It looked like the whole plot was given.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like they covered every single possible twist. And Ben Affleck's a villain. Here's what I don't understand: why would he take something like this? This seems like the kind of movie he was trying to get away from.
Yeah.
Hey, he's got fucking house payments to make too.
Yeah, but I think Argo probably covered most of them.
I don't know. Do we know how big his house is?
No, we don't.
What kind of tabs Jennifer Garner runs up?
I was just going to say.
She's probably pretty pricey. Yeah.
Probably. I don't know. I think they should make a Liquorville movie myself. Come on down to Liquorville.
Jesus.
Everybody in the club getting tipsy.
Everybody in the club getting tipsy.
Oh, man.
You guys are having way more fun than anybody listening, that's for sure.
That's all right.
Well, the big trailer this week is The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. Bilbo.
Southern accent just makes that. Smaug.
We found that damn dragon.
Get him. Get him out of here.
Oh, God, now I know how Aaron feels every night we start.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Aaron's like, take it, bitch. Take it.
Bilbo and the boys made it past the Goblin King and Azog the Defiler, which is coincidentally Aaron's nickname.
Really white.
Now they hook up with some elves, lose the Grey Wizard, and go to the Erebor Mountains to take their gold back from the big bully dragon called Smaug. In true Lord of the Rings fashion, it appears the first movie just does a whole lot of table setting while the next ones are pretty much fat on the action. So mark your calendars, because December 13th later this year is when you'll hear Smaug voiced by my man crush, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, now, Justin, he's voicing
how
it, huh?
Nice. Loud did you squee whenever you saw this?
Pretty loud. I really enjoyed it. It seemed to have so much more life to it and fun. I liked the first film well enough, but this one looks like it's really, like you said, the first one set the table. Now we're going to dig in. And to finally really get a good look at these elves, I was happy to see it. I think Legolas looks just like he did, you know, hell, somehow he even looks younger than he did in the Lord of the Rings films. Evangeline Lilly as an elf, I thought she looked great. Mm-hmm. The whole film looks like fun. It looks big screen, and it comes out on my birthday. Folks, mark your calendars, and I do have an Amazon wish list. It's the perfect birthday gift.
Did you really just pimp yourself and your birthday present? Nice. Nicely done.
Do you not know this guy?
Why do you think he does this podcast?
Yeah, he's like,
Justin, meet Aaron. Aaron, meet Justin.
I thought it was a very interesting trailer. They're definitely adding a lot of action to the book of The Hobbit, because The Hobbit was not so action-packed, especially, you know, it was only like, 200 pages or something. It wasn't that long. I'm looking forward to it. The one thing I thought that really I questioned was the design of Smaug.
Yeah, it looked very, not a lot of detail.
His eyes looked like they were cartoony. Well, it just didn't look like it fit.
We really don't know, though, how much more rendering may need or will be done. That's the one thing I hate about really CGI heavy movies. I'm sure when they put some of these trailers out, the images they put out are still being worked on. So I never quite take what I see in a trailer as what's the final look. They've got 6 months until this movie comes out. So I'm sure there's computers, you know, heating up rooms.
Normally I would agree with you, but when he's the central point of the entire film, then don't give me that glimpse if it's not ready yet.
Well,
because
they barely
part,
give you a glimpse though.
Yeah, but they give me a really clear glimpse of his head and his eyes, and his eyes just, they looked like they didn't belong, like they weren't done. And that's fine if they're not done, but don't show them to me yet then. Give me a little...
I didn't notice that, but it's probably like lens flares. I just don't see it.
Well, that's because once it's something you love, you're like, I didn't see it. That shit wasn't there.
Well, I don't sit there, and this is not a knock on anyone, but when I watch these trailers, I don't look at every single detail. I'm more looking for the mood, the tone, and the beats that they're giving me. I don't go frame by frame, and not to say you did, but I don't put a lot of magnifying glass on anything. I just wait till the movies come out, but I like the tone, like I said.
Well, to be fair, though, that scene that you're talking about where they show the dragon is like after, when this movie's coming out, you know how mm-hmm. trailers do that little like 5-second thing afterwards? Yeah, so it was building up this dramatic tension to see it. And to me, like Aaron is saying, it stood out to me.
It's dramatic.
So I'm not knocking the trailer. I want to see more. And I think to Justin's point, it might be.
Oh, I get it.
It was in the shadow. We're not supposed to see how good that dragon looks yet. We're just it's like a, they're calling it a teaser trailer.
That's the funny part. It's a teaser.
It's 2 minutes. Yeah.
Even like Peter Jackson can't even cut a small teaser trailer. Yeah. Damn it. Even his teasers are too long.
Just, I'm glad nobody else was really paying attention to the details here because I actually missed a little something. Just so you know, the Ben Affleck, Justin Timberlake movie's name is Runner Runner. So
did we not say the name?
No, I did not. And you can't give me shit because you didn't catch it either. And wow. You're usually good about that.
I hope we didn't lose listeners because of your fuck up, Brian.
No, if we don't lose them for yours, we're not going to lose them for mine.
That's fair.
Go on to thehollywoodoutsider.com. Check out these trailers. They're already up. You can get your t-shirts at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Get us on Twitter at @H_outsider. Go on to facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider and like us, leave us some messages, that kind of stuff. Also, you can call us or text us at 81881. I'm a ho, otherwise known as 818-814-6246. And of course, you can always email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider. Now, Aaron, I know you're not going to try to stump us this week, but I think you got something else up your sleeve. What you got?
I do. Okay. We're trying a different kind of trivia this week for our hoes, as well as you listening. Something to alternate with Stump the Ho. So let us know if you like it. Everyone knows the game 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, right? Everybody here is familiar with that?
Yep.
Well, we're going to do something called the 5th Degree. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an actor, any actor, and then I'm going to give you something else. Could be a property, a movie, or even a genre like exorcism films. And the winner will be the first ho to connect that through actors in 5 degrees or less. So let's see if you listening can beat our hoes to the punch. Got it?
I think we're good.
Okay. Well, let's go. I'll try to take it easy for this one. This week, the actor will be World War Z's Brad Pitt. Call it out as soon as you can connect Brad Pitt with a Marvel film.
Oh, gosh.
Who's going to get it first? Dun, 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 dun. Somebody listening already beat you. Dun,
oh, I got it.
Scott. Scott.
Ooh. Brad Pitt was in the vampire movie with Kirsten Dunst. And Kirsten Dunst was in Spider-Man.
Say that again, because I was lost.
Interview with a Vampire was Kirsten Dunst. Kirsten Dunst was in Spider-Man.
Wow.
Yeah. Mother.
God. You guys got beat the first one by Scott.
High five. Oh, yeah. High five, buddy.
See, now I was so busy thinking of the actual Marvel movies and not just any Marvel.
Oh, yeah. He got it.
I guess I finally get bit by not counting that crap as a Marvel movie.
Nice job, Scott.
Thank you.
Ooh. All right.
Good job, Scott.
Nice. I hope if somebody else beat it, let us know. I want to know if you beat
and
it.
That's like one step. That's not even like 3 or 4 connections.
Yeah, he got it in two. Two. Two.
That was like the fast pass lane on an interstate.
Nice job, man. Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, let's fucking move on.
Oh,
bitter.
We can't bitter take britches. So much Scott glorification on this podcast.
Yeah, I've reached my fill.
Bitter britches. Let's go to the big screen. We've only got one big release this week, and that's The Purge, which only I apparently suffered through or went to.
Oh, suffered?
No, actually, it's a fun movie, but I'll explain. Okay, in the future, apparently America goes crazy. So in order to fix America, they decided to enact The Purge. Each year, for 12 hours on one single day, Americans get to cleanse their palate of hate and anger, everything they have in their hearts, and they can commit any single crime they want with zero consequences. That's a genius idea. Never happened with our government, but genius idea. Enter James Sandin, who's played by Ethan Hawke, and apparently he designed all of the state-of-the-art security systems in his very nice neighborhood. He's the guy that designed all of them, specifically to keep all those out that are purging this one time a year. So he holds up in his fancy house with his wife, Mary, who's played by Lena Headey, and their kids, Charlie and Zoe. Well, what happens is once the purge actually starts, their idiot son Charlie decides to let in a homeless man, which is, by the way, the only black person in the entire cast. Just pointing it out. Which then puts a giant bullseye on their house. So, of course, some purgers want the homeless guy so bad that they offer to let the Sandins live if they decide to send him out. But they will kill all of them if they don't. So from here on out, it's just a fight for your survival until the purge finally ends. I'll be the first to admit the concept of the purge is absolutely ridiculous. There's no way this would ever happen. The idea that all year long, people of every economical stature forego violence until they get their little 12-hour window is a little bit hysterical. But even still, concept that we get all that time to do whatever we want, really intriguing. I would kind of like that to happen because, like we said, talked about before, we each got a list. The first half of the movie, very suspenseful, had me on the edge of my seat. The push-pull about whether or not to send this guy out to his certain death. What would you do?
Yes.
What?
Yes, I would send him to his death, yes.
Well, there's a lot of push and pull. Is it right? Is it wrong? You know, would you put those that you care about at risk?
No.
By keeping him in your house? Look at Justin. He's. I don't have any debate.
He's out.
No moral debate. We're good.
Nope. You ain't my family? Fuck yeah.
Well, dead man in my hallway. Sorry.
Well, Heedy and Hawk are very solid, both as strong.
That sounds like a good crime-fighting team.
Maybe like or a sitcom.
It's the name of the band I'm starting up.
Heedy and Hawk.
Heedy and Hawk. They're both very strong parents. They believe in the Purge, as well as they do a good job of being panicky people who are willing to kill an innocent man just to survive. The kids, especially this moron Charlie, who, by the way, he lets this homeless guy in and puts the entire family in danger and never even gets a scolding. Like, nobody throughout the entire movie says to him, "That was dumb. Why did you do that?" He's just like, "Hey, what? That's what we're. I want to help people. Fuck you."
Lost him out.
Yeah, I would have thrown his ass out.
I got a question though.
Yeah,
because I've seen the trailer and the guy like comes to the house alone, mm-hmm. and the kid lets him in. How do these other bad guys, or whatever, know that he's there?
What do you mean?
Is it
down the street watching? Probably.
Were they like?
No, the camera actually can. They have cameras surrounding the area, mm-hmm. and they can pick up sound outside, and they hear the man walking down the street, screaming and yelling, pleading for help.
Oh, okay. So they've got access to these videos.
Yeah. No, they're watching it live as he runs down the street.
Oh. Okay.
No, the neighbors ratted them out. The neighbor said,
"Oh, okay."
He ran into their house. That's
gotcha.
That's how they found him.
Okay.
So you know, the only other person that we really see their face is a villain who's played by this Ryan Gosling creepy clone named Rhys Wakefield. I mean, literally, you think he's trying to be Ryan Gosling throughout the movie. But he's truly menacing. He's charming. It's a solid performance. And when they break the security system down, in less than a minute, mind you, the state-of-the-art system comes down in less than a minute. Like, seriously, when it happens, if you don't chuckle out loud, I don't know what movie you're watching. The movie, from that point on, just becomes paint-by-numbers, retread of The Strangers. That's that's kind of where it went. It went from, I'm really into it, to, all right, but I know what's going to happen now. The Purge was directed by James DeMonaco, and he can handle suspense just fine. The problem with the movie is the writing. The film started as a real look at where our principles truly stop, and I really wish that would have been the entire movie because that was really interesting to me, except apparently at Brian and Justin's house because they just killed people.
Mm-hmm. Like, it would be a short film.
8 minutes.
Not 9 minutes of build up and then one dead guy in the hallway. Well, roll credits.
And then me chucking his ass out to the people who want him.
Well, the last half is just every thriller you've ever seen, so it's not going to surprise you. There is a little twist at the end, but it's nothing mind-blowing. And if you really think about it, you can see it coming. The Purge, I thought it was very suspenseful for most of the film. It's just not worthy of the hype, and it really missed its potential. If $10 is the full price of admission, this one's worth $6. And I was wrong. There is one other black person in the cast that I can remember. But I just thought it was funny that the homeless guy has to be the black guy. Like, really? Now let's go to the speed round, where we talk about movies that are... Let's try this again. Yeah, let's try this again.
We watched that movie. Awkward pauses.
Now let's go to the speed round. We talk about movies that are previously reviewed or new to DVD. Justin, you saw Jack the Giant Slayer.
Yeah, I did. This weekend, my wife was gone with her aunt, so I took advantage of that time and just started watching a bunch of movies I hadn't caught yet. The first one was Jack the Giant Slayer. Giant Slayer, right?
Christian Slater's in it? On the brain.
Saw that shitty trailer, sorry. Jack the Giant Slayer, directed by Bryan Singer, stars Nicholas Holt, the kid who was also on Warm Bodies, Ewan McGregor, Stanley Tucci. Aaron, you liked it. You said you liked it more than you thought you would.
Yeah, I really liked it.
I enjoyed it. It was definitely there was more to the story than the trailer led me to believe. I liked it well enough, but I still didn't think it was all that in a bag of chips. I think my favorite aspect of the movie was the idiot head on the two-headed giant. that kind of, I hate to use the word retarded, but the retarded head and its looks and goofiness was really funny. But Stanley Tucci was eating up the scenery left, right, and center. I didn't enjoy him at all. All in all, out of 10, I'd probably give it a 5.
Oh, wow. Really?
But the film that I did like and liked a lot more than I thought I would was Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. This is my kind of movie. It is a grindhouse fairy tale. Blood, shit getting splattered, things being cut into. It's really just visceral. It's kind of like if Van Helsing and, oh God, what was the other movie that it kind of reminded me of? But Army of Darkness were kind of mashed together. That's what this film is like. It's cheeky, fun. I thought Jeremy Renner had a nice charm to him. Gemma Arterton. Well, I was thinking, Gemma Arterton was really good. Famke Janssen, who spent most of the movie covered up in makeup, I thought she was really good too. Over the top, a lot of fun. You know, 1 out of 10, I give it an 8. I'm really looking forward to the next one they do. I don't know why this one sat on the shelf as long as it did, but it's definitely something I want to see more of. A hell of a lot of fun. If you're going to watch it, go in knowing this is some cheeky stuff. Mm-hmm. Don't watch this if you ain't down with that.
I agree. I really liked it as well. I actually was kind of bummed there wasn't more gore in it. That gets like
there's a lot of gore in it.
It was very, very gory, but there wasn't a lot of it throughout the movie. I don't know. I was expecting just to be a nonstop gore fest throughout the whole thing. And Famke Janssen was really good, but her makeup to me was very distracting.
Yeah, that's what I was. Brian,
I liked it because she was so otherworldly and kind and just gross looking.
The one thing I would not. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but when Brian and I went and saw it originally, the makeup was really distracting. From her performance, mm-hmm. I think she had a really hard time acting through it. So I see what you're saying.
It looked like it reminded you all the time that it was makeup. I never for a minute felt like this is what she really could look like. But I thought the performance was really good. Like you said, Jeremy Renner, he was funny. The whole they referenced candy like more times in this movie and really funny. I was a little bummed out by the makeup and I just wanted a little bit more. Than I got. Maybe that's just me being selfish, but I still enjoyed it. I just didn't love it. I gave it a 650.
That's still pretty good. You guys want a sequel? Because I really want a sequel.
I do.
Yes.
I do.
Oh, yeah. For sure. That was fun.
Yeah.
And then I want to see Hugh Jackman show up in a cameo.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Van Helsing.
Yes.
It's definitely that kind of movie. If you're a Van Helsing fan, you'll like Hansel and Gretel.
But
if you hated Van Helsing.
PG-13. So like this is like Van Helsing... with an R rating on it. Like.
Yeah, it's Van Helsing, you know, 7 years later, 10 years later,
right. Whatever,
with an R rating. I think that if they make another one, they'll make it PG-13.
And they left it wide open for a possibility, but they also, they did it one of those where it could go either way. They could leave it
More Gemma or Gemma is better for the world. So put her in as many movies as you can.
Yep.
Box office, The Purge 2 is already in the works. You know why? Because The Purge opened with $34 million. Shocked everybody.
Did it really only cost $3 million to make?
Yeah, it was a micro-budgeted movie. It's by Blumhouse Films, who does like Sinister and Paranormal Activity. They specialize in micro-budgeted films, and it's
paying off for them.
I'd say. So they're making a Purge, too. I guess, you know, Purge Harder or whatever.
the Purge-ier.
This one's already one of the most profitable movies of the year. I didn't say one of the biggest grossing, but most profitable it only cost $3 million to make. Fast and Furious 6 still holding strong. 19.6 million, already made 202 million. It's going to be passing Fast and Furious 5 here soon, both US and worldwide.
That's a whole lot of baby oil.
That's Now You See Me held great. 19 million, dropped only 35% to 60 million. They said now it's probably going to make about $100 million. I'm just saying I called it as a sleeper hit of the summer. I'm just saying.
Everybody I know who's seen it loved it.
It's fun. It really is fun. The Internship, on the other hand, way back at number 4. So Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn apparently trying to relive 2005. They didn't
good.
Even...
Good. Yeah. Stop making this shit.
17.3 million. Sorry, guys. And Epic somehow is still in the top 5 with 11.8 million. Only 83 million. It's actually a flop, but it's still in the top 5. I don't know why.
It's getting that residual kids are now, you know, just now getting into summertime. You know, they're just now out of school. Parents are taking them to matinees.
Summertime.
You know, just.
And there's nothing else out for them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Good analogy. Good call. Now let's go to Justin's upcoming.
Really an analogy, is it? Justin's the literary guy.
No, it wasn't, but that's
see, there you go. All right. Just want to make sure I'm right. That's all. Carry on.
Yeah, but you didn't mention After Earth. Woof.
Fell
from third to seventh.
Yeah.
It made 61%.
Yeah, I think it made an extra $14 this week.
Well, $10 million, but
it's close. In Brian's world, that's $14. That's only made $46 million. It's the first movie in Will Smith's in the last 25 years that hasn't opened number one.
Just I'm gonna assume that all the comic books and books and video games they were planning on. Yeah, probably not.
It's not gonna happen. It's gonna have a lot of empty action figures at his house.
All right, folks, we've only got two movies to talk about this week, both of them opening up on June 21st. The first one, Monster University. This one's a 3D computer animated comedy produced by Pixar Animated Studios. Don Scanlon directs. It's the 14th film produced by Pixar. Where the fuck that came from. And it's a prequel to 2001's Monsters, Inc. Billy Crystal, John Goodman, Steve Buscemi, and Frank Oz all reprising their roles as Mike Wazowski, James P. Sullivan,
Wazowski,
and Jeff Fungus, respectively. Set about 10 years before the events of Monsters, Inc., serious yet intelligent 17-year-old Mike Wazowski is extremely eager to start college, where he's majoring in scaring. Things don't quite go as planned, though, when 18-year-old James P. Sully Sullivan happens to be in the same fraternity. Sully shows to be the almost exact opposite of Mike. He's playful, all brawn, and most notably large. He's also majoring in scaring. However, they soon become enemies in a rivalry that will tear their worlds apart, but ultimately bring them together. Aaron, so far this year has been kind of light on the cartoon movies, so kitty pickings have been slim. Are you hoping that this movie's going to chum up the water for you?
Jesus Christ. No, not at all. I'm one of the few people that didn't like Monsters, Inc. I didn't think it was that funny. I was just bored to tears.
I'm with you.
Were you?
Oh, wow.
If it wasn't for the little girl and her kitty cuteness, that movie was a snooze.
Yeah, I was bored senseless. I just had no enjoyment watching that movie. I'm sure there's a lot of kids, millions obviously loved it. I'm not one of them. So to make a sequel to it, I have zero, and I can't say that's enough, zero interest. None.
Well, I love Monsters, Inc. I adore that movie. I've watched it multiple times. But this one just, I don't know, I want to like it so bad, but I think the charm of Monsters, Inc. was what they were doing, not how they got there.
Explain what you mean.
How they're scaring people? Energy by scaring and that kind of thing. That was fun, and it was like this world about how the monsters come out of the closet and from under beds and that kind of thing, and that was fun. This is more like established characters. It's not a new novelty anymore. We're just going back.
Yeah, I agree with you, and it seems like a weird way to go.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, who cares how they got there?
I think this would have been funny as a Pixar short at the beginning of the next Pixar movie. Like a little, like, 3 or 4 minute thing. Because the first trailer they did, that teaser trailer where they made, like, the shiny disco ball out of him was funny. That was funny. But I can't imagine a feature-length movie being that funny. I hope I'm wrong. But what about you, Brian?
The Ice Age movies with the little squirrel? Right. Kind of like you think. Kind of do that with them?
Sure. I mean, that's like done inside a movie, though. I don't know.
He's saying like Pixar always has that short film before their actual movie. He's saying it should have been something like that.
Yeah, like for the bird. Yeah,
but don't they do Scrat little short films?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Don't they do that?
I think it is. Scott's right.
Me and Justin both think they did. So, of course, it happens.
It might. It very well could.
Whether it really happened or didn't.
We don't care about facts here. We just talk about random shit.
As long as me and Justin agree, it probably freaking happened.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to the second film, World War Z. Now, this is an apocalyptic action film directed by Mark Forster and written by Matthew Michael Carnahan. It's based on the novel of the same name by Max Brooks. The film stars Brad Pitt. Actually, in June of 2012, the film's release date was pushed back, and the crew returned to Budapest for 7 weeks for additional shooting. Damon Lindelof of Lost fame was hired to rewrite the third act.
And Prometheus. And Prometheus.
Right, and Prometheus. But he didn't have time to finish the script, so Drew Goddard was hired to rewrite it. Drew Goddard, of course, wrote Cabin in the Woods and directed that one as well. So I think that's actually a good sign. Anyway, the story is about United Nations employee Gary Lane, played by Pitt. He travels the world trying to find a way to stop the zombie pandemic that's defeating armies and collapsing governments. Brian, are you up for this not zombie zombie movie?
Absolutely. Love zombies in any capacity that they're similar to zombies, whether it's an actual zombie or not. I'm sorry. I like Brad Pitt. I like just about most of his movies. I do see some flaws with this, this just looks like one of those summer popcorn movies that I just like to go see. And it may be crap, but I don't care. It's going to get my money anyway.
Anytime you have to reshoot the last third of a movie, I get nervous. But they are being very aggressive in terms of showcasing the movie, you know, across the country, trying to get critics to see it, trying to get film geeks to see it so that they can spread word of mouth. So as far as I'm concerned, that's positive. That says that they have faith in the finished product. So maybe they did work out whatever problems they had. Still, I am really sick of zombies. I really am sick of, and I'm
yeah,
more
but
sick
these
of Brad
are
Pitt.
Fast and climbing on top of each other, zombies.
Oh, great! Yeah. They're pyramid zombies. That makes them cooler.
I think it does.
Oh.
I think this takes zombie films to a whole new level in regard to just how many of them and how far spread. I mean, except for maybe the later Resident Evil films, this is the first time we've really seen zombies worldwide. Mm.
I guess. I don't really think that makes... I don't care if it's a different locale. It's still a zombie movie.
It's zombies in Russia.
Ooh.
And all over the world.
That's different. We're expanding.
It ain't just downtown L.A. or something.
There really is kind of a feel of like the Mummy movies. You know, instead of a bunch of beetles maybe crawling up a wall and into a crevice or something to get to somebody, it's zombies. Crawling over a giant wall or something. So.
I don't know. I'm hoping for the best. I do like Brad Pitt. I haven't loved some of his choices as of late, but I do like Brad Pitt. I don't know. To me, it looks decent. It doesn't look good. So I'll see it. I'll definitely see it, but I'm really burned out on zombies. I mean, but Scott, you're dying to see it.
Oh, yeah, I'm with Brian. I love Brad Pitt, and I am getting a little tired of zombies, but this one just looks really interesting. I'm even more of a sucker for worldwide disaster movies than I am zombie movies. The whole like, oh, we got a family that's happy and mm-hmm. something tragic happens worldwide.
You like to see families destroyed?
No, there's something about that weird shift of from happy to sad and then hopefully a happy ending. I don't know. But
I will say that if you've read the book, this all by the reports that I've been hearing is the movie is really very little like the book.
Yeah, is it a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't. The book's pretty revered.
Yeah, the book's good. The book's a good book.
But the book is an epistolary story told through news articles, emails, those sorts of things. It's not your typical narrative, whether it's first or third person. This story is told through journals and those sorts of things.
Is it kind of like the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter style?
Well, no, not really. And even Dracula is an epistolary story. Yeah. So you can't make a faithful adaptation of epistolary. You have to find a central character to hang your narrative on. In the book, it's all over the world. In this movie, you kind of got to have a character to run with. So there are definitely going to be some differences.
Do you want to see it, Justin? Are you dying to see it?
I didn't. I was lukewarm in the beginning, but when I saw some of the newer trailers or later trailers, it really kind of piqued my interest. I definitely want to see it. I don't have any hesitation whatsoever.
All right.
So, guys, of these two films, Monster University and World War Z, which of these two will most likely find you in the theater with your dollars spent? Aaron?
World War Z. I'm hoping for the best.
Scotty?
World War Z. I'm excited for that one for a long time.
Brian?
Me too.
Make it a clean sweep then. World War Z.
They had a lot of that going on
Fuck
lately.
Fuck monsters mm-hmm. and their university.
Yeah, I'd drop out from that. All right, you can listen and subscribe on iTunes, your Stitcher Radio app, or through our RSS feed at thehollywoodoutsider.com. There's a new episode every Thursday of the Hollywood Outsider podcast.
What's this movie?
What's this movie? Each week we play ours or a listener-suggested clip from a movie, and if you think you know what the clip is, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com, tweet us or Facebook us the answer, and next week we'll give you a proper whole shout-out. Last week's answer was Scott's pick, and it was The Ringer. And
the what?
The Ringer.
I don't think I know that movie.
With Johnny Knoxville. Well, I just want to say, before we started recording, nobody had gotten it. But we got one just before we started recording. Nice. Somebody actually nailed your fucking obscure quote. John B. And he said, The Ringer, Scott's movie choice. Love the show. Keep up the good work. So thanks a lot, John. And thank you because you saved Scott because he was feeling pretty bad.
That I was feeling
guesses.
Terrible.
Nobody could guess this.
You still should.
You should. It was a little too obscure, but... This one is a little bit easier, a little bit more fun, but it's still a little difficult too. So this one is from Brian. It's his turn this week. And if you think you know it, email us feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Here we go. Here's your clip.
I'm sorry I can't take you with me, but you've lived here so long, you're too big of a pansy to defend yourself in the wild. I don't feel bad for you. I know you got a little romantic thing going on with Candace. Candace and Bernice? Candace, Bernice, and Rose? Yeah, I fell for one chick and I'm losing my mind. Good luck with that. Okay, baby. I love you. Thanks, buddy. Remember to use a condom, or in your case, a hefty bag.
All right, that was your clip. We were just talking about how there's... Brian and Justin are still convinced Scott cheated on that fifth degree thing.
Yep.
I'm right here in person. How am I going to cheat? I don't even have internet.
He's so good. He had it planned. Let's go to there's really no TV news.
He wrote it in white on that pasty skin of his so that only he could see it.
Let's go to the couch, Scotty. There's really no TV news. So what's coming up on DVD and Blu-ray?
Okay, we're looking for the releases for June 18th. First up, Jack the Giant Slayer, which Justin just talked about for us. Do I need to recap that story? Or we?
No, I think you're good.
I think we're good.
But Aaron did give that a 750 on episode 83. So, also, 21 and Over, this is the one about the Asian kid that has a big exam the next day, and his buddies take him on his 21st birthday and get him good and liquored up. I saw this one and also reviewed on episode 83, and I only gave it a 350. So, yeah, that was kind of rough.
The Asian kid, that's how we describe him?
The Asian kid.
Yeah.
Asian kid, you couldn't find a better? Less racist way.
Like the racist,
more to
the yellow kid
being Asian.
So calling him Asian is racist?
How is that racist?
Racist.
Okay, that was racist.
That was racist.
That was racist.
Moving on.
Sorry,
Quartet.
That was an accident.
Quartet at a home for retired musicians. The annual concert to celebrate Verdi's birthday is disrupted by the arrival of Jean, an eternal diva and the former wife of one of the residents. None of us saw that one. Might be a good reason, not sure. Next up, Last Exorcism 2. As Nell Sweetser tries to build a new life after the events of the first movie, the evil force that once possessed her returns with an even more horrific plan. This one we also reviewed on episode 83. Apparently we did a lot of reviews that episode. Justin was the only one that saw it. He gave it a 450. That bad, huh? Next up, Movie 43, a series of interconnected short films follows a washed-up producer as he pitches insane storylines featuring some of the biggest stars in Hollywood, including Dennis Quaid, Greg Kinnear, Seth MacFarlane.
Dennis Quaid. All right, I'm running it.
I can hear you percolating already. Mm-hmm. Hugh Jackman, Kate Winslet, Liev Schreiber, Naomi Watts, Anna Faris, Emma Stone, Richard Gere, Kate Bosworth, Jason Sudeikis, Gerard Butler, Halle Berry, Terrence Howard.
We got it.
And more.
I just want to point out that he said all those names and didn't fuck them up. I can't say half of them without screwing at least one of them.
Jason Sudeikis.
Jason Sudeikis.
Moving on.
We had the same joke. Great line.
If it had been Aaron, he'd been like, Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah.
Some kind of Spanish accent.
Hello, Jason Sudeikis.
Next up is Stoker. After India's father dies, her uncle Charlie, who she never knew existed, comes to live with her and her unstable mother. She comes to suspect this mysterious, charming man has ulterior motives and becomes increasingly infatuated with him. It stars Mia Wasikowska, who was
Whoever.
Wasikowski?
No, she was actually.
Is it a ski? Does it matter? Let's move on.
It's Wasikowska.
Okay.
It's A, not I. And Nicole Kidman. Next up is the brass teapot. I'm actually really interested to see this one. A couple discovers that a brass teapot makes them money whenever they hurt themselves. They must come to terms with how far they are willing to go. It just looks really funny to me. Something I'm going to check out.
I hope it's short and stout.
Lastly is American Mary. The story follows a medical student, Mary Mason, as she becomes increasingly broke and disenchanted.
I laughed at my own joke.
At least somebody did. With the surgical world she once admired. The allure of easy money sends Mary into the world of underground surgeries, which ends up leaving more marks on her than her so-called freakish clientele.
That sounds interesting, actually.
It does sound pretty interesting.
Ooh, yeah. Hit me with that unknown shit. Flashback.
With that, we'll move on to our flashback segment.
Oh, more Scott talk.
You guys getting tired of me? Getting a little parched? Oof. This is where each week one of us hoes brings to the table a little known or obscure movie that we'd like the rest of you to check out. This week it is my turn, so yes, I'm still talking.
Imagine that.
He fixed it.
This week I wanted to talk about a movie that I actually recently watched. It's available on Instant Stream, and I've been getting into watching a little bit more documentaries recently. I know they're not the most exciting thing, but when
you get a lot of free time. You live in the McCumber lifestyle.
I do. I'm digging it. But when you find a documentary about something that you really like, it kind of hits close to home. And everybody knows that I love to play video games, but Aaron specifically knows I also love to play pinball.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily even like real pinball tables. I play mostly video pinball. But growing up as a kid, I used to drive down to this local arcade and throw so much money into this one pinball machine and play it so much when I was a kid. So I came across this movie called Special When Lit. And it's called that for more than one reason, believe it or not.
I thought it was about a joint.
About a joint.
I thought it was about marijuana or something.
Oh, did, yeah. Oh, okay. I can see that. Special When Lit. Oh,
I'm kind of depressed now.
No, it's a documentary about the history of pinball and the fanatics who like obsess over it. And when I say obsess, that's why another reason why it's called Special When Lit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really interesting to me. There's things I had no clue about. Like pinball was banned in the United States for 30 years.
We banned pinball?
Pinball, because originally it was considered gambling, because before it had flippers, it was more like a pachinko kind of thing.
And I did not know that.
I didn't either, and it was really, there's a whole lot of really interesting things about it like that. Where it also gets more interesting is talking about
the well, Lottie fucking duh.
And where it gets a little more interesting is some of the hardcore fans in pinball that, I'm not joking, make me look like the coolest guy on the planet when it comes
That's a stretch, dude.
I'm telling you. Remember,
because I don't know if you know, but you are obsessed.
I know, but not this obsessed. Remember when Brian brought that movie to the table, the Wild...
Why do you got
to
bring me into this?
No.
He's like, don't make me part of your nerd talk.
The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And like,
yeah, I'm not obsessed about inbreds.
I'm not saying you are. I'm saying that the guys in this movie that obsess about pinball are nearly as kooky as those people in that movie. And it really makes you feel a lot better about yourself. It's a pretty short...
If you're just as obsessed, you should feel a little worse about yourself.
I'm not that obsessed. But, I mean, I'm talking about guys that collect, like, literally hundreds or thousands of pinball machines.
Wow. Okay.
Where the fuck they put them?
They've got warehouses, and it's insane.
In the garage.
That's dumb.
It's really interesting. I thought it was really, really cool. But it is available on Netflix Instant, and I actually do recommend it.
Okay. So. Special When Lit. Now let's go to From the Outside In. Last week, one of our listeners wrote in and it suggested a topic, so we're going to do that topic this week. How many times have we seen a movie where we thought that actor or that actress was the next big thing, only to see them pop up in films with like middle-of-the-road performances, or they just fizzed away entirely? So this week, we're talking about actors who should have been that next big thing. They had the walk, they had the talk, they had the personality, and something just went wrong. Brian, why don't you go first? Who are the people you thought were going to be the next big thing?
One of the first people who came to mind was, I really liked her a lot, and that was Claire Forlani.
Hmm.
Oh, wow. From The Rock?
From The Rock. She was also in...
Mallrats,
right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And now she's in some, I think, Dewar's Scotch or something like that commercials.
She's in Antitrust, too, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. She's been in a lot of small... I mean, her career just went...
She's gorgeous. I mean, it was like she was almost fast track up, and then all of a sudden it just kind of petered out for whatever reason. Edward Burns is another one that... He's had a decent career, but with his brothers, McMullen Breakout, and, you know, a couple other things he's done. Confidence was another good movie.
I liked Confidence. That was good.
Yeah, and he's had a couple of, at least as a supporting actor, I can see. I don't know if I really like him carrying a movie, but I do like him as a supporting actor.
Yeah, he doesn't have the range really to carry a movie, but you're right.
But Saving Private Ryan, he was in that as a supporting guy. So he's just one of those guys I think you should see him more often than you really do. Sarah Michelle Gellar. I know this is probably sacrilege, but I mean, outside of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and the first couple of Scream movies or whatever it was she did.
I didn't know what she did last summer.
No. Which one did she do?
She did. I know what you did last summer. She did Scream 2. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So like early 2000 horror
movies. And The Grudge. She did The Grudge.
She's kind of like our modern Scream queen, even though she really hasn't done a horror. I don't know what she's done in the last probably 5 to 7 years.
Just that one TV show.
She did a TV show, but it failed after that. I think the first. Yeah. Was it? It only made one season?
Yeah, one season. Ringers? Hmm. Ringers is the name.
Ringers.
Of it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, she's got a new TV show coming up where it's her and
is it Robin Williams?
Robin Williams' TV show. I think they play father and daughter.
Yeah, I mean, my point is, as highly regarded as she was for a decent amount of time, really,
mm-hmm.
she just really kind of disappeared.
She dropped off the planet there for a while. I mean, she did the Scooby-Doo movies. I guess
that's right.
Yeah,
I think when she married Freddie Prinze Jr., that was the beginning of her descent into obscurity.
See, when people look back, when she's 60 and she looks back, what went wrong with my career?
That was her Cutthroat Island for mm-hmm. Gina Davis.
Was that movie that bad?
Cutthroat Island was pretty bad.
Was it?
It is. I love a good pirate movie. I love bad pirate movies, and this thing was horrible.
Mm. Yeah, Matthew Modine is not a swashbuckler.
No.
No. Hell of a cyclist. Or wrestling. Was it Russ or was it both?
I don't know.
Anyway, you get the reference anyway.
I got it.
Couple more real quick ones. Alicia Silverstone, loved her.
Yeah.
Don't know. I mean,
yeah, what happened to her?
You can still, I mean, you now to this day, she hasn't been on TV or movies in forever, and you can still mention her and you know who she is. She's got that persona, that X factor that just draws you to her. And I don't know why she can't either get work or doesn't want to work. I can tell you why.
Mm. Batman and Robin.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That fucking movie tanked everybody.
That killed a lot of careers,
Have
man.
Have you seen the dude who played Robin since then? Fuck no.
Well, he's on TV.
He's on CSI for the last 5 years.
That's fucking TV.
that's fucking TV.
One more, and this may be his personal choice versus, you know, Hollywood not really wanting him for his acting.
Okay.
Peter Berg.
Oh, he decided to, he switched to directing.
He went to directing.
Yeah, he's a director.
Yeah, I know he's a director, and I love his directing work, and I know he's, but I liked him in
Battleship.
A number of his movies.
Shut up. You liked Battleship when you reviewed it, you hater. Ugh. Hater McHaterson. You liked him as an actor, though?
I did.
What was that Linda Fiorentino movie? Fiorentino, whatever the hell her name was.
Dogma?
No. He it was like a small thriller that she did. It was back in the 90s.
Jade?
No. It was before she did those.
Oh, that was David Russo.
Yeah, I wish I could remember the name of it. But he was really good in that movie, and I wish I could remember the name of it. But
there's the war movie, which we talked about, or at least I talked about a while back, where the Christmas time thing where they just kind of called off the war for 24 hours and had a celebration. So
The Last Seduction. I looked it up. That's what it was.
Okay.
That was a really good movie. You guys should find it. That's a nice little thriller to watch.
So yeah, he was just one. Like I said, I know he's got a good, he's still welcome in Hollywood, so to speak, but it's more as a director. And like I said, that may be by his choice. I don't know, but I do like him as an actor, and just kind of wish he would have had a bigger career as an actor.
Yeah, so. Me too. How about you, Justin?
My first choice, Brandon Routh. I really hoped that, or thought that Superman Returns was going to be the beginning to a big career for him, because I thought he did such a great job. And to be an unknown and then be given that kind of role it can really go one of two ways. You can just skyrocket or it'll lead to nothing. And for him, unfortunately, it seemed to lead to nothing other than Zach and Mary Make a Porno, which he had a small part in, but it was a really funny part. He was also on Chuck for, I think, half a dozen episodes or so. He really hasn't done much. He did a one indie horror movie called Dylan Dog.
He's in Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, that's right. He was in Scott Pilgrim, another little bit part. But he never ignited a big career, and I really thought he would have one, and he didn't. And I don't know if it's just because Superman Returns was so, you know, lackluster in its reception or what, but I think the guy is, he's got the chops, and I wish he would get another chance. A weird one, Mark Hamill. You know, Luke Skywalker, and he's had a really good career in voice acting, especially with the Joker. But other than Star Wars and, you know, what was it, Stingray, Corvette Summer? Other than that, he really hasn't had a movie career. He came out with a movie in the late 80s, early 90s. It was some sci-fi film. I forget what it's called now, but that was the first movie I'd actually seen him in since Star Wars, and that film kind of sucked. I don't know how you go from being Luke Skywalker to being nothing if you ignore the Joker stuff, which a lot of people don't, and rightly so. He does an amazing job as the Joker, but he just has not had a film career, and I can't imagine why. I think he's a pretty good actor.
Do you remember Wing Commander 3?
Oh, God, he was good in that.
He was
actually in Wing Commander 3 and in Wing Commander 4, and he had a bit part in Wing Commander Prophecy, where the video games that had these live-action cutscenes, where he played the lead character of Christopher Blair, and then one of the games opposite Wilson, who played in the Back to the Future movies. Biff.
Biff.
Yeah. So I guess maybe the Wing Commander movies kind of kept him going a little bit. But anyway, Mark Hamill, he's Luke Skywalker and he always will be, but that's really kind of about it. The last guy I'll mention, he still has a chance, but his window, I think, is dwindling. Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah.
He played the comedian.
Thinner. It's getting a lot thinner. He needs to hurry up.
Yeah. I mean, he played the comedian on The Watchmen, and he had a small role in the first season or so of Supernatural. And the only movie role that I've really seen him do was The Losers, which was an ensemble, you know, a crime heist film with Chris Evans and some other people in it. But the guy, I think, has got a really cool look to him, and I would love to see him do more. But he just doesn't seem to be getting those roles, and I don't quite know why.
He's actually in a TV series, I believe it's on Stars, called Magic City. So they've got their second season is coming out here real soon.
Didn't he do that movie recently, the horror flick?
The Possession. Yeah, the Possession. He was in The Possession.
That's right, he played the dad in that, yeah.
He was in Red Dawn.
Yeah, but he's like bit parts in low budget, I mean, or middle of the road thrillers. Right. I mean,
no real starring vehicles.
And he had real presence in The Watchmen. I thought he was great in that movie. I mean, he made that movie.
I liked him in The Losers.
He's almost like a Javier Bardem.
He looks a little like bit, him, yeah.
A little cooler, though. A little bit more kickback and...
Yeah, a little more swag.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could be a great action star, but so far that hadn't happened. But anyway, those were the three that really came to mind for me.
All right, I've got four. The first one is Paul Rudd. I think Paul Rudd is one of the most funny and charming actors working. But he just can't get a huge box office hit to his name. I mean, he's had a couple of mid-level successes, but he's always that supporting guy anymore. He really can't – he doesn't seem to get to Adam Sandler level or Mike Myers level, you know, those guys. That's where I think he belongs, because I think Paul Rudd is just sister.
Do you think he kind of stays – like kind of picks the kind of the independent type roles a little too much, the independent movies, I mean?
I think he does. I think he stays in too much of familiar territory, and he's not Adam Sandler comfortable yet where he can do that for every movie. You know, Adam Sandler's the same guy in every movie, and he's still popular, but it took him a while to get that popular. Paul Rudd, I think, he just hasn't – he hit that mark a couple times with Role Models and then a couple other movies, but
Wonderlust.
Well, that flopped. That was a huge flop. But he can't seem to get that huge mega hit that'll take him to the next level. And so he's always that either the lead of a small movie or he's the supporting character in a little bit larger movie. He never seems to hit that next threshold. And I really like Paul Rudd.
He seems, Knocked Up was.
But he was a supporting character. Yeah. He wasn't the lead. I mean, he's never the lead in a huge monster hit. Hmm. And I always thought he would be. And I mean, he's getting up there. Even though he looks the same.
He's in This Is 40.
Yeah, he was in This Is 40, but that wasn't a huge hit either.
Yeah. It's too bad. I really enjoyed that flick.
Yeah, I've heard that's. I still haven't seen that one. Rachel Weisz is somebody that after The Mummy and Mummy 2, I thought she was going to be like one of
Isn't
the big.
Weisz?
Whatever. Jesus.
It is. It's with a V.
No, it's not.
It's with a W, but I think it's like Wagner. You know, even though it starts with a W, it's pronounced as a V.
Okay. Vreta Weisz.
All right, Dracula. Thanks.
I absolutely love her beauty. I think she's a beautiful person. But how she carries herself and how she can just be anyone on screen. I honestly thought she would be like the next Meryl Streep or at the very least Rachel McAdams popular. And she just has never seemed to carry on with that. She's
fantastic.
She is fantastic. And she's just not seen the same as those other actresses. And I really thought she would be by now. Really disappointed.
I thought the Mummy movies really kind of would have been that kickstart.
Yeah.
So did I.
And it didn't.
It didn't do it. And she's is just as good at dramatic as she is with comedic. I mean, she just has a lot of range, and that's just – it's too bad.
She's enjoying life as Mrs. Craig right now, so that's probably a little easier to say.
Yeah.
Oh, she married Daniel
Craig? Yeah, she married Daniel Craig.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
She went from Darren Aronofsky to Daniel Craig.
She moved up.
That's a step up.
She moved up. My next one? Okay. This guy I thought was going to be the next big action star. And I love him. If you saw Deep Blue Sea, Thomas Jane.
I was going to mention him.
Punisher, but
I
thought, right?
Yeah, and he also played the Punisher. He was in The Mist, that movie Justin hates the ending of. But he was great in that movie.
Up until then, yep.
Dreamcatcher, there's a little known movie called Under Suspicion where he can act. I love him. I really do. I really thought he was going to be the next big thing, but his movies just don't seem to hit. The Punisher, even his little short Punisher film.
Oh, that was great, wasn't it?
That he did on YouTube was fantastic.
That was awesome.
The movie wasn't great. I still liked the movie. It was a lot of fun, but he was a great Punisher, I thought. I really thought he was going to be the next big thing, so I was kind of, so sad that I didn't see him.
He had a bit part in Arrested Development, too.
Oh, the new season?
I think it was the third season, actually, but I just recently watched it, and he was pretty funny, too.
He's funny. He's done a TV show on, I think it's HBO, called Hung.
Yeah, called Hung.
Which is actually pretty funny.
Two or three seasons, yeah.
Yeah, but
it was still going on.
No, it's done.
Oh, okay. It hung.
And my last one, people think this guy was big. He never, ever had a massive box office hit. And that's Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell, he was inconsistent, like mid-level hits.
We really shook the pillars of heaven, didn't we, Wang?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. And the Pork Chop Express. But he never hit like big star status. And all the movies that people remember him from weren't really hits. If you think Escape from New York wasn't a hit. Big Trouble in Little China wasn't a hit.
Tombstone?
Tombstone was a very mild hit. I mean,
Stargate?
It was like 50-some million. Stargate was a mild hit. Really? I mean, he was in a couple movies that kind of did it. But he never made a $100 million movie.
Overboard?
He was never... really?
Overboard?
He was never in a $100 million movie. But he was the most... And this is one word I abuse, but it is. He's the most charismatic actor I can think of, personally. He just... Whatever he did... Every time he's on screen, I can't take my eyes off him. Just love watching him, no matter how stupid the movie was. And Overboard is definitely one.
He looked like he was having fun no matter what the role was.
Yeah, always having fun. Just had a good time. You're a miracle. He's the only guy having fun in that movie, even when he's not trying to look like he's having fun.
He was so good in that.
Though.
He's just such a good actor. He never gets the credit he deserved. He was never the star he deserved to be. And people, you know, you tell people that, well, he was never a big star. Like, oh, he's huge. Kurt Russell was really popular. No, he wasn't. He was never popular. And even Breakdown, hardly anybody saw that movie. He did such a great job in that movie. It's very much just about him trying to find his wife. That's the entire movie. His wife gets kidnapped, him trying to find her. And the way he plays it was just so well done. I mean, the guy just had so much range.
He was good. It's Stuntman Mike.
Oh, yeah, Stuntman Mike. That should have been more about him and less about Quentin Tarantino playing music for
45 minutes before you got to Stuntman Mike. But he was
did you say Twinton?
I thought you did too. No, I was almost called him on Twinton, Twirin, Twino.
Did I say Twinton? I can't speak tonight. I'm using the wrong words. I got a lisp. Damn it. All right, Scott, what do you got?
I just got a couple because actually I had...
You haven't seen but five movies.
You're right. No, I actually
had... them all.
I had Brenda Ruth?
Ralph. We established that last week when they corrected
was it.
Welcome to Ralph.
I had that one down, but I also had Haley Joel Osment from like back in when The Sixth Sense came out. Yeah. I thought he was going to be huge. And he had
He looks weird.
He looks weird now. He looks kind of creepy.
Yeah, like he was.
Like he wouldn't have invited him over to eat.
He was in Secondhand Lions when he was a little bit older, and even by that time, he just felt like he was acting. I was like, man, how do you come from having such a pretty good role in Sixth Sense and doing a really good job with that I really believed that he was this kid that was scared and that kind
of
thing.
I'm convinced he was just scared as a kid.
Yeah, all he had to do was sit there in front of Bruce Willis all for an hour and a half.
I just saw M. Night directing. He's like, oh, shit, is this going to work?
God. We're on the ruined edge. I'm ruined.
And what is he doing now? I mean, have you seen any?
He's hanging out with the kid from Jerry Maguire. Yeah.
That kid's doing TV now.
They're with hookers and an eight ball. That's what they're doing. Waiting for Corey Feldman to come over.
And my other one?
On the Corey Haim Express.
Tasteless but awesome joke.
My last one is an odd one, but because he kind of was a superstar for something other than acting. But Dane Cook, when he was in Mr. Brooks...
He's a douche.
A lot of people
I'll give you Mr. Brooks. I think as a dramatic actor, he was actually pretty good.
That's what I'm saying. He did all these goofy movies. He did the Good Luck Chuck, whatever, and like
My Best Friend's Girl or whatever.
Yeah, and like what he's good at, which is comedy. But when he did a dramatic role like in Mr. Brooks, I'm like, man, that guy can act.
He was
him more, and I really was like, I want to see more of him doing that and getting out of the douchebag. Like Brian said, I mean, I like Dane Cook as a comedian too, but yeah, dude, bro, that's what I was looking for, and I wanted to see more of him, and I haven't seen anything dramatic from him since then. So
I haven't seen much of anything. I actually saw him pop up on Hawaii 5-0. I don't think
he's really.
Yeah, he's not doing that good.
Did he stop doing stand up or
his stand up? He kind of got over popular. I think is what happened.
Yeah.
Like Andrew Dice Clay, he got Andrew Dice Clay disease.
Really?
Yep.
Dice Clay's going to be in the next Woody Allen movie.
That doesn't
he's
mean
starring in it.
That doesn't mean he's going to be rich.
That's not that's not a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, no.
Some people like Woody Allen.
But Dane, ugh, fucking pedophile. The
this from Pedophile Drift, dude.
Is it pedophilia when you marry the girl?
Yeah.
No, it's that's
when you marry your own daughter.
It's
I'm
called
pretty
love at that point. Ain't it?
Shut the. It is not. It's not love when you marry your own daughter.
It wasn't his blood daughter?
Oh, that
don't. Oh, God, she's from a whole other country. That don't count.
God.
I'm sure she seduced him anyway.
And can
she
I tell you,
did.
You know Dane Cook's movies
walking
weren't
around in her, like, Ren and Stimpy pajamas.
Wow. Wow. Pull this train.
I'm pretty sure it was Hello Kitty, not Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, wow. Dane Cook's movies weren't that funny, but there's that. You ever watch a movie and the movie's not that good, but then they have that one joke that makes you almost recommend it because it's that funny?
Yeah.
That My Best Friend's Girl or whatever it was. I thought that was a stupid ass movie, but then when he's trying to get her to break up with him and he just jumps on, stands up butt naked and yells, "Mom, this thing's not going to suck itself." At the wedding, I almost cried. One of the funniest jokes I've ever seen. Let's go on the flip side. What actors shouldn't have been so damn popular? As in, you can't understand how did this person get to that next level because they annoy you or whatever the reason. Scotty, you
go. I'll start. I just got a couple. And first was Tara Reid back in she was popular for probably a short time, maybe four
like
or five
8 years. 8 minutes, yeah.
Well, she had some pretty big role in American Pie, and she went and did some other stuff.
She had a nice run.
Van Wilder, she was in that, and that was the worst. She was so bad, and I never... She basically got the role because she was cute.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she was in Big Lebowski, too.
Yeah, she's been in a few things.
The other one is Robert Pattinson. That guy,
I don't get Robert
the guy
Pattinson.
From Twilight. All the women just think he's hot, and I'm convinced that they think he's hot just because of the book. Like, because he does not look like an attractive guy. I don't get...
No, and you see him on Awards things, and he actually, I think he's kind of creepy looking.
Yeah, and the way that he delivered that, I mean, he might have done it the way the book goes, but very flat performance, nothing just, I love you, Bella. I never understood the appeal, and I see him in anything else, and I have no interest. So, what about you?
Nobody wants to dispute that. Are you guys, are you on board the Robert Pattinson hate wagon?
Absolutely. I mean, he was on my list, so.
Oh.
I don't hate him. I haven't seen enough movies that he's done other than the Twilight movies, and I blame a lot of that on the shitty writing, the shitty source material, and the shitty directing.
That's fair. My turn. Mike Myers. I don't think Mike Myers is funny. I think he's the most one-note comedian I can think of. His jokes are all the same. His voices are all the same. I did like the axe murderer. I mean,
he'd get upstairs and lay on a huge pillow.
He'd like Sputnik.
and Shrek. I thought Shrek was actually pretty – the first Shrek, not Shrek 18, whatever they're up to now. But outside of that, I thought Wayne's World was a dumbass movie. I didn't find anything funny about it.
Aww.
Oh, sorry, I didn't. He's just somebody that I never understood. What is the appeal? He does the same jokes in every movie. And I'm just not a fan. And I think The Love Guru made me smile to see people finally realize that he's not that funny.
The first Austin Powers movie, I think, is hysterical.
Okay, I will give you Austin Powers. The first Austin Powers. Where they buried that joke into the fucking ground.
Literally, like the exact same jokes from movie to movie.
Yeah, movie to movie, same jokes over and over. And I had one more, or actually two more. Owen fucking Wilson. You can't act. I'm sorry. And by the way, you've got millions of dollars. Fix your fucking nose. It drives me insane. You're the same guy in every movie, and that nose makes me want to just punch you until it breaks, and you have to fix it. I can't stand it.
He's a better actor, though, than his brother.
He is.
And, Wilson's a turd.
Luke Wilson is not very good. My last one, Taylor Lautner. So I guess we're picking on Twilight.
Damn, there's another one off my list.
Seriously, are his abs that impressive that he deserves?
They are pretty impressive. Yeah,
they are.
They're impressive.
They are pretty impressive.
That kid is one of the worst actors I've seen in the last 10 years. Not just lately, the last decade. He's got to be the worst actor.
Wasn't he Shark Boy?
Yeah, he's bad is what he is. Yeah, he was Shark Boy.
Yeah, he was Shark Boy.
Yeah, Shark Boy and Lava Girl. He was Shark Boy.
God. Yeah, right.
And he was bad in that.
Like, all I know is if I had his physique, I would not own a shirt.
Yeah,
there would not be a shirt near me. I would just, even in the dead of winter, I'm walking around shirtless. It's like,
there's 12 inches of snow. I'm going to be out shoveling with my shirt off.
Yeah,
damn right.
Mm-hmm. Justin, who do you got?
My six pack brings all the girls to the end.
I've only got one name. I've really had a hard time trying to figure out.
It's because you love everybody.
I'm a lover. I'm a nice guy. The only actor that I just don't see it is Sam Worthington.
I agree. Yeah.
I like Avatar, but I don't like him in it. I actually liked Terminator.
Salvation.
Salvation. I didn't care for him in it. And I think he's a complete turd in both of those the Titan movies. The guy is a shit actor. Why do they keep casting him?
I wish I had an answer for you.
He's terrible. Terrible. And I'm done. It's all my wrath.
All right, Brian, finish us off good, man.
All right, man. I got a.
That's what she said.
Let's say, I got a lot of pretty people here.
He's still laughing at it.
I laugh at Aaron's response. He's so high class, he can't believe I would laugh at that. Sorry, Brian, go.
Oh, I've got a. Let's see who to start with. In no particular order, Scarlett Johansson.
Oh fuck you!
Sorry, she is not. I mean, she's pretty to look at, but she is a shitty actress.
I
liked her in Lost in Translation. I like her as Black Widow.
She's got the exact same look for everybody. Just look with them big doughy eyes and her mouth a little drop.
Yeah,
halfway
yeah.
Open. And
the same ones that are in her Twitter pics or whatever, where she's half naked. Or is naked.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. Everybody listening to this knows.
As much as, another one, I actually kind of like the guy. I just wish he would do something a little bit different. Because there was a movie in his early days that I really liked. He kind of played a villain, Vince Vaughn.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. His shtick has gotten old over the last. And this is one reason why the internship, I don't think I'll watch until it's on the cable.
Mm-hmm. I still like his motor mouth, you know, sarcastic delivery, but.
That's Wedding Crashers is a classic.
Yeah, Wedding,
Wedding Crashers is pretty fucking funny.
I agree. And there's, you know, and I love him in Swingers. And yeah. What was the, think mid to later 90s, something, God, what is it, Buffalo, something other? He was a kind of a villain in that. He was kind of like a.
Oh, gosh.
I know what you're talking about, but.
Yeah, because I think it was a Gus Van Sant movie.
Is that why Gus picked him for Psycho?
Probably. Huh. Anyway, he was pretty good in that. I'll have to look that up to get the actual name for it. But
I'm sure Aaron's hastily typing.
I'm looking right now.
Anyway, I want to see more from him. That little shtick is fine, but again, it's been what 15 years. Do something different. You're not Hugh Grant. Come on. Chris Klein is fucking horrible.
Oh, God. He is awful.
Yeah, he is bad.
Have you seen the YouTube shit from, like, Street Fighter?
Street Fighter?
Yeah, he was in a Street Fighter movie.
Like,
wow.
The one with the
chick from Smallville was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was so dumb.
Awful.
Oh, look at Scott. I have to see that. It's Street Fighter.
You're talking about Street Fighter, like the video game Street Fighter.
Yeah, but it's not even worth hunting down. That's how bad it is.
And there is one from like the 80s that I...
Yeah, that was Jean-Claude Van Damme. That's somebody who should have been huge right there. Fucking... Yep. Any way you can do ass splits, that's fucking phenomenal. And the movie was Clay Pigeons. Back. Clay Pigeons was the movie you're thinking of, and I referenced that earlier. Like,
I can see how you mix it up with Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Pigeons, whatever. Buffaloes.
Pigeons, buffalo.
Yeah, they both got wings. Anyway. Boom.
Touche.
That's a roundabout way, but yeah, boom. I get it.
That's it. I'm done for the night. I'm out. Got a couple more quick ones here. Little Star Wars stuff here. Hayden Christensen. I'm sorry.
Oh, Jesus. Fucking
He was terrible. He was terrible.
Oh, man.
Good.
Yep.
And notice where he is now. Mark Hamill's house. That's where he is.
That's right. And Mark Hamill is actually rubbing it in going, I got me a job, bitch.
Guess you could be a Jedi again. What? Not you. What?
Now go get me another beer. Seth Rogen. Sorry. Stick to writing. I think he's funny, but I think he's better as a writer than an actor.
His laugh.
Yeah,
Jamie Kennedy is another one.
I don't know. Jamie Kennedy, Kim. He's a good supporting.
Oh, he's awful. He's awful.
I like.
He's got one good scene in like four Scream movies.
When he got that's killed, my favorite scene. I was like, yes,
that's my favorite scene.
Yeah, you know, and I think he's one of just way overrated. Last one, he's very pretty, and he's. Thankful the Hobbit is very popular right now, you know, is they're doing the Hobbit movies now because he's not done jack since the last Lord of the Rings set. And that's Orlando Bloom.
I knew that was coming. Yeah. I agree with that 100%. He was almost on my list. Too.
He was the least interesting thing in the Pirates movies, too.
He's the least interesting thing in everything he does.
I liked him in the Pirates movies, actually.
Really?
I did. I thought he was charismatic and... You know, he had, when he was especially facing off against Jack Sparrow, I thought he was good, but the film that kind of ruined me on him was Elizabeth Town. Yeah. I know my brother listens to this podcast. My brother loves that movie, and I am a big Cameron Crowe guy, but Elizabeth Town was a turd, and he was a turd in it.
It was boring.
Yeah, it was a little boring.
I like that Kingdom Come movie, but he is the worst.
Kingdom of Heaven.
Kingdom
Come.
I was praying that it was the rapture, just to get through that movie. But the actual movie itself, I like.
Come on, Jeebus, come take me now.
I like it, but watching him is crap.
Oh, that's too bad. Oh, you know what? I almost wanted to mention, but I didn't want to say it in like a hateful way. Was Johnny Depp?
I actually thought about him.
Yeah, and I don't mean it in a I don't like Johnny Depp way, because I love Johnny Depp, and I think he's made a lot of really good films. But since he became popular, he's really stopped being as interesting an actor. And he's kind of doing the same shtick now, where he's got to be Jack Sparrow in everything he does. I mean, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was just Jack Sparrow in the Chocolate Factory. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, the Lone Ranger, it's Jack Sparrow in a desert.
Yeah, it's kind of like where he just clouds himself in makeup, and he's not really doing quirky performances now. He's burying himself behind makeup. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the Johnny Depp he used to be. And I'm not knocking. I mean, he's still making decent movies. It's just not what I...
Well, yeah, and that's what I used to think of Johnny Depp as kind of what Guy Ritchie is now. And that's that underrated actor that should be doing more, and he's fantastic in just about anything he does.
Guy Ritchie?
The director, yeah.
I'm sorry, Guy Pierce.
Okay, that's a big difference.
Okay. Sorry.
Guy Ritchie, Guy Pierce, same thing.
They both got wings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but Guy Pierce, I think Guy Pierce is fantastic. He just doesn't get those roles for whatever reason.
I'm surprised nobody mentioned Keanu Reeves.
Why would we?
He's done enough. I think he's done enough.
You think he's done enough? I mean, I love the Matrix films. So I got no beef with him, but everybody else in the world seems to hate him.
We do not need another epitaph.
Sorry. Point Break is good enough for me that I'll keep – it's good enough for me. It keeps him off the list.
Fair enough. All right. Let's go to emails real quick. Before we get to that, it's Facebook time. For all new Facebook likes, this is Justin's favorite part of the show. For all new Facebook likes on our Hollywood Outside page, that's facebook.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. We said we mentioned those on the show, so here you go. Here's the most recent one. Steve Race, Paul Cooley, Betty Malone, Nikki Summers, Stephanie Montarubio, Jordan Gerald. So thanks, guys, for liking us. And if you like us this week, we'll mention you on next week's show.
We're still letting them read names,
and
guys.
And if you mispronounced your name, please let us know.
I think I got all those right. Let's go to emails, Justin.
We got one here from Benjamin A. He says, concerning your conversation about the documentary on sea life, dolphins are not docile. Approximately 14 people are raped by dolphins every year. A group of dolphins were trained by Ukrainian government to use modified handguns. Those dolphins escaped. There are handgun-toting, people-raping dolphins out there. Stay out of the water. Love you guys. Keep up the good work. Benjamin A.
That might be the funniest email I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
I've heard male dolphins are quite pushy and amorous with some of the female trainers that get in the water with them. I don't know if that's true or not. It's just what I heard. So they could be raping everybody up in here. So hide your kids and hide your wife.
They were asking for it.
They were asking for it. Oh, Scotty, good luck with this one.
All right, this one comes from Go, who wrote in before. The word not, he says, nothing is a double entendre. And I think what he or she is saying there is the word nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The word nothing is a double entendre. Quote, an O thing or N a thing or no thing was Elizabethan slang for vagina, evidently derived from the pun of a woman having, quote, nothing between her legs. And this person gave us a Wikipedia link. So thank you, Go.
And it says, P.S., you guys are the best part about Thursdays. You forgot that part.
It's Elizabethan.
Elizabethan?
Yeah, Elizabethan.
My apologies.
Jesus, Scott. It's like you don't listen to them correct me all the time.
Elizabethan. I'm going to read it again?
No. Nothing. No, Brian. No, Brian. Brian, you got one tweet about the Game of Thrones podcast? It's from D.A. Cheney. I forgot to put that on the
hashtag.
Can we say that?
Yeah.
Can we say that?
Yeah, he can.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, you're just talking about vagina for the last 2 minutes.
No. I don't mean content-wise. I mean...
Yes, you're good. Go ahead.
Content. All right. Anyway, this is in regards to our most recent Game of Thrones spoiler cast. Like I said, it's from D.A. Cheney. And she says, an office worker leaned over and asked me what I was listening to that had me laughing. # Greyjoy's junk topic.
I hope that trends.
And I'm glad it was 2 hours. You guys covered a lot of ground, which is hard to do for a full season discussion at 1 hour. So thank you, D.A. Cheney.
Yeah, thank you very much. Stay through the credits for outtakes. We might rap a little on that one, right? After the show, God. Just so you know.
You were recording that shit?
A little bit. You can always find us on the website at thehollywoodoutsider.com, and that's a podcast website. It's not constantly updated with every news item that comes up. It's mostly just for the podcast. Twitter, H_Outsider, Facebook.com/TheHollywoodOutsider, please leave us a message or text us at 818-814-6426. Email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Listen and subscribe for free on iTunes or your Stitcher Radio app or our RSS feed, as well as Rockford College Radio Thursdays from 4 to 6. Thanks to each of the podcasters. Justin McCumber, Whose Minor Magic, is available now on paperback and Amazon, Audible, and Kindle everywhere. Thanks, Justin.
Hey, man. Thanks, man. I got to go pop some tags.
You got $20 in your pocket?
$20 in my pocket, baby.
Brian Williams.
Buttermilk biscuits. Here we go.
Hey, and if you guys do like Game of Thrones, you will hear Brian actually hosted that one.
Yeah.
His first time hosting, so be sure to give him a lot of shit.
It's an audible orgasm.
And Scotty Clark.
I really kind of wish you were still recording right before we did the Fifth Degree of Separation game where you said, you're not going to win, just so you know. Yeah.
I actually said right before we did the game that, Scott, you've got no chance of winning.
Yeah.
And he won.
And I won.
You were setting us up for failure.
So
because I knew he was going to cheat. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. How am I going to cheat?
You did.
We all knew.
He won fair and square. Let him have his minute.
I got two words. I got two words. Booyah, bitches.
We are not about building people up.
Obviously.
No, we are not.
And email us your thoughts on Man of Steel. I'm curious what everybody thinks of it because it's getting a little bit of mixed reviews.
Tomorrow. See it tomorrow.
All right. And remember, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn. I wish I could remember the rest of it. Oh, there you go.
Don't you know? Don't you mean? Things are going my way. If you hold on.
Drums, please.
Wasn't that Wilson Phillips' follow-up hit?
Yeah.
That's a dumb... This is shit.
Now this is a story all about how my life got turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air.
Woot, woot. Woot. Hey, you know me.
You know me.
What is that? 91?
Right around there, yeah.
It's still happening, man. It's still current. He said drop a load off.
Didn't know what that meant back then.
Run's house! I want to get my friend
now! This 80s and 90s tribute to R&B was brought to you by The Hollywood Outsider.
I want to rock right now. I'm Rob Bass and I came to get down. I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone because I get stupid. I mean outrageous. Stay away from me if you're contagious. Here's the rap song.
You know what I'm saying? Yo, so they came around looking for you the other day.
Word, bust it.
Informer, you know, say that I'm a stormy-eyed man.
I lick you boom boom down.
License to Ill was one of the hottest albums when I was just about to become a freshman.
It was. Scott's right. That's when rap was fun.
That's when Scott was born, right?
Roughly.
I think his mom was getting laid to that song when it was popular. I know, because I was there.
Oh! This is get hit with a bat. Oh, sorry, bro. That was not on purpose.
It would have been louder if it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. With hip hop. All right, that one was on purpose.
Do you complain about not having any material for outtakes?
just this should be nothing but
R&B. I'll just play the whole fucking end.
Just record the podcast tomorrow. We'll just rap 80s and 90s rap for like an hour and a half.
She just felt...
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull out tough, cause you notice that the foot was stuffed.
Jesus, got a little bit of delay.
I'm hooked and I can't stop staring.
Oh baby,
I wanna get with you and take your picture. My homeboys tried to warn me, but that butt mate got makes me so horny. Ooh, rumple smooth skin.
Brian's like half a second late.
It's like a little bit of a delay.